We are truly excited about our past, our present, and even our future, because our God is with us. Last week we reminded you of the fact that God said through his son Jesus, "I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth." And I'm so grateful for that reality, to know that the truth has spoken, and to know the truth, it sets my heart free. And whom the Son has set free, he is free indeed. We thank God for this privilege and this opportunity wherein we are coming to you via live streaming, as well as being a part of the Facebook family and other means in which you have created out there to connect with us. God is good all the time, and all the time our God is good. Amen. He is truly good to us. And sometimes I say despite of us. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I'm so glad for his grace and even his mercy in times like these. We welcome you again to our morning service here at McKinney, and thank you for being so attentive to connect with us on each and every Sunday morning. During this pandemic season, we've tried to bring you a fresh word to encourage you, to challenge you, to enlighten you, or whatever the case might be. And our prayer is that God is doing something for you and even through you with his word. Today, on the heels of what we have considered Juneteenth being that day of freedom, that day of jubilee, some might call it that day of liberation, that American holiday that we celebrate annually on June 19th, commemorating a time when federal orders were read in Galveston, Texas, that enslaved people in Texas were free. I pause for a moment because sometimes we don't feel that freedom. Pause in the reality that, as the songwriter said earlier in our service, it's gotta get better. It's gotta get better. And I believe God has in his purpose and his plans that things are gonna work out for us somehow. I believe God would speak in our ears this morning from the book of the book in which he speaks, poses a question to Abraham. Genesis, the 18th chapter and the 14th verse, where he poses a question, is there anything too hard for God? That ought to be our question today as we look at the pandemics that are rising all around us. Is there anything too hard for God? I chose a topic this morning, who handles the hard ones? And I chose it simply because it appears that we've been waiting a long, 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 long time for something to get better. This promise that has been given to us, it's gotta get better. Some point, this evil must be uprooted, just like it is dealt with in the scripture. Now, as you think about this passage of scripture found in Genesis, the 18th chapter and the 14th verse, you'll see it surrounds Sarah having a child at old age, and she laughs at the thought of it. But God then comes through once again and shares with Elijah in response to all of this, that just like I've reinforced my promises to you about you being a faithful nation, this too shall come to pass. I want us to see that in the eyes of what what's happening to us in this day in society. Is this one too hard for God? The injustices that we face, is injustice too hard for God? It keeps showing up. Is oppression too hard for God? It seems to raise its ugly head. Violence, is that one too hard for God? Immorality, have we shifted our lives and to make it commonplace, and whatever society decide that is politically correct, we allow it to be so? Is it because things have gotten so out of hand that God can't even handle the hard ones? Again, I think today the important question lies in the fact that we must handle these things with that faith continually in God. That question of faith needs to be posed in times like these. Romans 12 and 9 is very clear to me as to how we as righteous people must live in righteous indignation. And it says, love unambiguously, hating the evil and holding fast to the truth. I don't think that's a suggestion for Christians, but I believe it is a command. That in the midst of all that we encounter, the cornerstone of our faith must always be represented, and that being love. And he tells us to love unambiguously. Tells us to hate evil. Tells us to hold fast to the truth of God. And these kinds of thoughts have been given to us even in Amos chapter 5 and 15. It tells us that we ought to hate evil and love good and maintain justice in the court. But yet it appears that we are writing sin out as the culprit. I don't know if you realize it, but sin breeds an evil spirit. And if sin continues to prevail, sin will dominate and sin will not be able to see the reality of the wrong that it poses to human lives. These pandemic diseases that are threatening human lives, the health threats, the existence, our very existence as a race, the cohabitating of us together in these United States, we need to see the sin that so easily separates us from what God would desire in our lives. Today, I want you to think in your own mind, in your own lane, wherever you might be in all of this. I'd like you to think with me and ask yourself the question, have you forgotten who it is we're dealing with? Do you yourself wonder if God can work in a situation like this? As you think, I want you to hold on. I want you to realize that I believe that God wants to encourage you this morning and let you know that he is the one who handles even the hard ones such as this. Our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could even ask or think. So don't give up. Don't give up, especially on our God. One thing about faith I'm coming to realize is that it requires us to look past the facts and know the truth. It's time for us to realize that the truth of God is his way forward for us. It's his way toward freedom. It's his way to, through his word, to enlighten us even in the 21st century. That God's word is still true in the 21st century. Regardless to what you think your truth is, God trumps your truth, no pun intended. Morality, it's God's word. Peace, it's God's word. Even justice, it belongs to God and it is found in his word. Let me remind you this day, saints, that the scripture says the just shall live by faith. Ye who are justified in Christ, the scripture tells me that you shall live by faith. Something about being just and living by faith seems to create a righteousness that in fact, will yield justice in a society that needs it. Your position, your place in life, justice, that equitable and impartial application of God's moral laws in society is something that you and I are called to do and called to be about. I don't know about you, but I still believe that God can handle the hard ones, and God's justice is going to prevail in the midst of this immense outcry and this extreme seriousness of sin, of immorality and violence and oppression and injustice. But I also believe that it's going to be the faithful who brings it to fruition. The faithful. What is faith, you might ask? We once said it like this: it's the substance of things hoped for, the reality of the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But I've learned to say it a little different, that faith is the reality of what we hope for. It's the proof of what we don't see. That even though I cannot see the end right now, even though I can't see it in my possession right now, I can see what's going to happen in the end. I believe today that you and I must understand that the victory has already been won, and we just got to go through it to get to it. Faith is the reality of what we hope for. And I know you're hoping for some justice today. Faith leads you in that realm. It's the proof of reality that you cannot see at this particular point in time. I want you to understand, faithful, that faith requires something of you and I, and the scripture has told the human race that we've got to learn to deal in what is good and what is evil. What is good is what the Lord requires from us, and that being to do justice, to embrace faithful love, and to always walk humbly with our God, knowing that our God is the one who can handle all of the hard ones. I've just got to learn how to operate as a just one. I've got to learn to continue to embrace faithful love. I've got to continue to walk humbly, knowing that God is bigger, God is better, God is greater than anything that we might encounter. God is good like that, y'all. God is omnipotent like that, y'all. God is omnipresent like that, y'all. God is a powerful source in our lives. So in the midst of all of my do-gooding and those kinds of things that you might be saying, Pastor, what is that? How is that relevant when they got the knee on my neck? How is it like that when I can't see the night of day and I've got to be concerned about where I am going? I don't see, I don't experience the kind of freedom that has been granted to me. I can't live in it in this day and time. What is my response
from you as I believe.
Well, I ran across a scripture that we quoted all the time and we think about it, and it comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, and it goes like this. If my people who belong to me will humbly pray, will seek my face and turn from even their own wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. God reinforces the promise to Abraham, and today we are reinforcing the promises to you and me that God is still able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. God is still on the throne. That God still loves you. That God still has purpose for you. That God still has a plan for you. That God wants the best for you. God has given us the best. He has given us his only begotten Son. The one who hung, bled, died, and rose again, and now seating at the right hand of God, making intercession for you and for me. That now by his Spirit has unleashed himself in the world today, a spirit of love that only those who are bound to him in Christ Jesus can usher in to this world. The faith of the righteous shall avail much, even like the prayers of the righteous. So I challenge you today, wherever you might be, I challenge you to continue to look to the hills from which cometh your help, because I know that your help comes from the Lord who has made heaven and earth. I challenge you today that wherever you might be in the valley of the shadow of death, but keep on praying his word and God will see you through. Keep on believing his word and watch his word come to fruition. Keep on upholding what is right, not according to what you think is right, but according to what the Word of God says to you. God gave us his very best. He gave us his best because he looked through the annals of time and he realized that we're going to need somebody. That we're going to need an advocate, that we're going to need someone who is able to get the job done. God gave us the very best he had. He gave us his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish in this life, but have eternal life. I don't know about you, church, but I'm glad today that I know him and he knows me. And I'm glad today that he knows my past, he knows my present, he knows my future, and he sees them all at the same time. But somebody washed away my sins. Somebody gave me victory to live even in times like these. So I challenge you today, be encouraged, church. God is able. I challenge you today to hold on to the reality that our God handles the hard ones too. Be encouraged today. Jesus, he paid it all, and all to him I owe. And sin had left a crimson stain in this world, but Jesus washed us white as snow. And I challenge you, live by faith. Live justly. And watch the amazing power of God. Turn this thing around. Watch God breathe fresh air into your relationship. Watch God breathe fresh air into your circumstance. Watch God breathe fresh air into your circumstance. I tell you today, church, he's able to handle wherever you might be. You haven't tried him, you ought to try him. If you haven't trusted him, it's time to trust him. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.